much for being so patient with me. But very, very slowly my health is coming back. Somehow this total rest is the only thing which works. And the whole body is really in a much problems, but now it comes to, I'm a little sorry, I feel very bad for giving such a bad example, so please don't take my example. Only have very good dreams. Solution after talking for enough. But otherwise it's not nice to rest so much. So I just wanted to read a few verses to you. About what devotees do. A nice description of devotees. And then I wanted to say something which at least I think is very helpful for our spiritual life at this stage. Voice will be there in a minute, don't worry. The author now describes the characteristics of exalted devotees. And he first starts by describing what a devotee does. Yesterday we were with some devotees at the lake, and we noticed that at this stage of our devotional service it is possible to fall back into material activities. For instance, I asked the devotee if he had read yesterday during the day, and he said no, because such an idea does not yet come to his mind. But it's important that these spiritual ideas come to our mind in our spiritual practices, because if a devotee on our level is without spiritual activities, he's practically like a materialist. See, in the Krishna consciousness there's the Vaidhi Bhakti platform. It's a platform where most of us are on. This Vaidhi Bhakti platform has 64 activities which a devotee does. 64. It is described that these activities have the potential to bring out love of Godhead. What this means is that within us is this Atmarati, or the Rati means the affection of the Atma, the soul, which is purely towards Krishna. And this has to somehow come out, and it is brought out by these activities which involve the body, where you more or less do activities with your body, and then and your speech. And then it is hoped that after some time the inherent Krishna consciousness comes out, which is an activity of the mind. In the Vaidhi Bhakti Sadhana, we do not feel an attraction at this moment to Krishna, a very deep attraction, or the attraction is very flickering. Sometimes it's there, it's not there. So therefore we do these activities like drinking charanamrita, seeing the deities in the morning, chanting a prescribed number of rounds, and so on. All these activities actually become initiated by five activities which are in relationship to a guru. We should take shelter at the lotus feet of a guru. We should seek initiation from him, and then we should inquire confidentially about eternal religious principles, and then we should be prepared to follow the footsteps of the sadhus, the saints. So this is the initiation really into the palace of bhakti, to the 64 activities of bhakti. You come there through spiritual guidance, and so on. It's interesting that this path is only possible for those who do not have any hopes about material life any longer, like most of our young devotees have great hopes to become happy in material life in some way, different way. But only if you have given up this hope to become happy by material sense enjoyment can you enter the house of bhakti. Otherwise it is not really possible. So the 64 activities of bhakti are done, and it is hoped that by doing this, that the you start with your mind to be in Krishna consciousness. This is the whole purpose, to become, to be with the mind in Krishna consciousness. And then you start what is called the Raganuga Sadhan. Raganuga Sadhan is where your mind becomes attracted to Krishna consciousness, and where you begin to spontaneously think of Krishna and glorify Him, because now you are attracted to Krishna. This is how Rupa Goswami describes this thing. It is very, very important that we do not automatically our devotional service, just forcing our body to go through the activities. It's very, very important that our mind becomes attracted to Krishna. Only then we can be called devotees. Here the author describes the characteristic of exalted devotees. What do they do? When we come together, we usually we talk about the world and about our frustrations or our hopes and so on. But what do the devotees do? The devotees of the Lord constantly hear the holy names and qualities of Mukunda. Want to hear about Krishna. They happily sing the glories of His names and qualities. They remember Him in every sphere of life. They always serve His lotus feet. They worship His deity form. They offer prayers to Him. They engage in His service. They make friendship with Him. And they fully surrender to Him. In this way, they offer all their activities for the pleasure of the Lord. Now you will hear what are the attachments of these devotees. These devotees are attached to wealth. They are attached to friends. They are very attached to children. But listen, how we think, what? Mm-hmm. I heard it properly. The devotees are attached to wealth in the form of Krishna. That is their wealth. They are attached to friends in the form of Krishna. Krishna is their friend. And they are attached to children in the form of Krishna. They give up everything to achieve Lord Krishna, and He is everything for them. Isn't it beautiful how the author is really getting to us? Now he says, okay, after it is clear that their only wealth is Krishna, he says the devotees also have a home. They also have wives and children, friends and associates. But it is described how they relate to these. Even though such devotees are surrounded by wealth, by home, by wives, by children, friends and associates, they still offer everything to the service of the Lord Krishna. They claim nothing as their own, remaining always like beggars. I think we remember in this context the song Manasa Deha Geho. The Bhaktivinoda Thakura describes my house, my mind, my wife, my children, all are yours, Krishna. I think this is a very good song. like Yveshwara has a beautiful house, very nice family, and it's all Krishna's. A devotee will think like this. He takes care of this with Krishna, and this way he does not fall into material attachments. Now it's described what the devotees do with their senses. First of all, it is described they are renounced, but nevertheless they engage all of their senses. Listen how they do this. Even though they are averse to sense gratification, they engage their senses in seeing the form of Sri Hari, hearing his qualities, relishing his remnants, and smelling and touching the flowers that have been offered to him. In this way they appear to be materialists, because they engage the senses all the time, but it is only an appearance. This is something very important. I will jump over a few verses because they are all similar. They do not see faults in others, but they see faults in themselves, even though they are full of transcendental qualities. See, when you stop seeing faults in others, you can become very pacified. Because see, there's one thing, faults in others you cannot correct really. And when you always engage your mind with the faults of others, you become hopeless, because there's nothing really you can do about it, isn't it? But when you think about the faults in yourself, which are still there, you become hopeful, because you can actually do something about it. If you work on it, you can actually improve. Like yesterday, I ate too much strawberries and schlagom, and today I will not do it again. And I feel a great sense of success this evening when I only eat half the portion. You feel like this. My life is going somewhere. I gave a little childish example. Maybe you had some of you had made this very good construction. As you will see on the table, it always goes gang, gang, gang. So they do not see faults in others. This doesn't mean in others there are no faults. There are certainly faults in others, but they prefer to not see them. But they see faults in themselves, even though they are full of transcendental qualities. Now, what happens when a devotee is criticized? He says, the devotees do not become miserable by hearing criticism of themselves, nor do they become happy by hearing glorification of themselves. They neither criticize nor glorify anyone. See, this is very interesting for us Serbian devotees. We Serbian devotees are very expert in criticizing others and glorifying others. But a devotee wishes to get out of the trouble which comes when you criticize others, because you will always get criticism back. I can guarantee you, if we would sit now here in this room with locked doors and start to criticize devotees, for sure, although only we would hear it, 2, 4, 6, 8, 11 people, we would be criticized from people who have not heard about this, because there is outside of this group of 11, because there is this rule, whenever you do like this, three fingers point back to you. The hand is made like this. It's natural. It always comes back. So the devotee starts and stops doing like this to others. He doesn't feel a need to get stung by the arrows of material suffering. And when he hears criticism, he understands it's because I criticized others. It's my karmic share. It's all right. It had to come. I think this concept is totally out of the experience of the normal person. When I first heard about it, I didn't believe it. I thought there are people who make faults, and they have to be corrected. And it's correct to criticize them. But for 1 year, I decided to make an experiment. Why do the Shastras always say, don't criticize anyone? And why do they say, don't become disturbed when you are criticized? So I stopped criticizing as a general procedure. And all of a sudden, I was no longer criticized, although I did the same activities of being a little temperamental and so on. It's somehow a law of nature. Don't involve yourself with other people too much. We Serbian devotees like to get really as intimate in the detail of a person's life as we can possibly do. We have no respect of any granitas. We go right there and we suffer like hell. Why can the devotees be so careless about the world, to not glorify and not criticize? This is explained here. The devotees' hearts are full of ecstasy. Ecstasy due to the touch of the nectarian ocean of knowledge. They have knowledge. They read and get knowledge, and therefore their hearts are full of nectar, and then they do not want to be like normal osobas. Therefore, they are not compelled to suffer the threefold material misery. If your heart is full of nectar, you do not suffer any longer the misery. Free from fault-finding and material qualities, the devotees execute religious duties to the best of their abilities, and always remain aloof from committing sinful activities. It's, in other words, the devotee does dharmic activities, does not lie and so on, as good as he can. So then two very interesting verses are describing the devotees. A devotee's natural qualities are non-violence, truthfulness, honesty, purity, sobriety, that means he is sober, self-control, forgiveness, peacefulness, satisfaction, patience, and many others. But now it is described how a devotee, although he has these qualities, is violent. It is described how a devotee is uncompromising, how a devotee lies like anything, and how the devotee is impatient. These things are described because they belong to our personalities, and the devotees take also in account these shadow qualities. The devotees are violent towards sinful activities. No! No illicit sex! Bam! They are uncompromising in controlling their senses. This is enough, my dear senses. You won't get more. They are untruthful if necessary for the protection of others. When they want to protect others, they may speak a lie. Yes? To protect the other. They are impatient for the performance of Sri Krishna Sankirtan. They wonder, when do we chant? When do we chant? This is what a devotee does. You see, in the past, devotees would take such verses and pin them on their before them, in on their about violence, uncompromising, you know, chastising means we have to chastise others. No, we have to chastise your senses, untruthful, and so on and so forth. Please note that these are all in relationship to Krishna consciousness, not in relationship to your own desires for adharmic activities, religious activities. Now, when I was reading these verses, I was looking at Kishori for a moment, who I know takes these verses always very much to heart. You know Kishori a little bit by now? And I could also see one sense in the expression that means one emotion in the heart. The face is always the mirror of the heart. How will I ever get this quality? Isn't it? It is very difficult to think of ourselves having these qualities one day. How will we do this? We are normally osabas. How do we do this? Especially, how do we do this in the face of qualities like lust, greed, anger, enviousness, illusion, madness. We are sometimes a little crazy. How do we do this? And it is said you are always surrounded by these enemies. We may think Madayanti came alone in her beautiful car, but she had six persons with her sitting in the car. Imagine, they are always surrounding our mind. Not only Madayanti's, also my mind and everyone's mind of us. There's always this danger that this comes out. So how can we, in the face of these disqualifications, think of developing qualities like patience, being kind to others, not finding faults with others, and so on? The answer is given that Krishna has given a special potency to his devotees, and we should call out the names of these devotees who act like highway police protection on the highway to our spiritual goal. Raghunath Das Goswami describes that the sadhaka is on the highway back to Krishna, on the road back to Krishna. And he says these bad qualities are highway robbers. They come and jump on us. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was living at a time when there were a lot of unorganized crime in India. You know, in India the crime is only now organized. Before it was just some people, you know, having some guns, shooting bandits and so on. And he said, when we go back to home, we are on the chariot of our body. The body is like a chariot. The mind is the intelligence is the driver, and the mind are the reins of these things. And lust, greed, anger, illusion, enviousness, madness are like the highway robber. So at the time when you feel difficulties, you must call out the names of the devotees. Oh, Srila Prabhupada. Oh, Raghunath Das Goswami. Oh, Haridas Thakur. And you may even call out the names of your own spiritual master if you have one. Actually, every one of us has Prabhupada. So you can call out this name, Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Really, please help me. And you will see how in a very transcendental way help will come. Because Krishna has given these devotees the potency to help you against these robbers when they come. He has given them the potency. They act on behalf of Krishna. Just like, let us say, a policeman. I mean, in Serbia, when we think of policeman, we think of someone who wants some novas. But the idea of a policeman is the state has given him a certain potency to protect people. Nowadays the policemen are also highway robbers. They stand there with a little beam and they want to find out if you were driving 5 kilometers too fast and get some novats. But ordinarily a policeman is meant for protection, and he is given a certain power from the state. He can even shoot a person. He has this power if the person is just, you know, doing crazy things. This happened in Germany. There was a mass murder, and the policeman just came and shoot him because he did not stop shooting. He has this power of potency. So in the same way, the devotees have the quality to help you when you are overcome by your natural enemies, these six people which came with Marayati from Bosnia, and which are also always with us. You know, sadhus are given the charge by Krishna to protect those travelers who wish to go back home, back to Godhead. Now, in the scriptures, there is a verse, what you can do when you have these qualities. Can you give me the first canto? You can open it at the 6th chapter. I hope it's still there in this book. Text number 36, yes. There's a very important verse which the Vaishnavas talk a lot about. It starts with Yamadhibir. Please read this in the Serbian language. Yamadhibir, yeah? Is it correct?
636.
636, yes. It's Sarvam Tant Idam Akhyantam. Then I have a wrong verse. 36. Yes, 35. Yamadibi Yoga Patai. I'm going to try to read this, although I'm very much like to read it, but I didn't make a mistake. You listen to this now. Yes, yes.
Istina je da se obuzdavanjem čula kroz proces joge čovjek može osloboditi uznemirenja koje stvaraju želje i požuda, ali time duša ne biva zadovoljena, jer je društveno zadovoljstvo dobija predanim služenjem božanskoj ličnosti.
Duševno. For instance, in yoga you find breathing controls. Where you breathe through the different nostrils, and you have different counts. Om 1, Om 2, Om 3, Om 4, Om 6, Om 5, Om 6, and so on. And you breathe in a certain number of counts. Then you stop your breathing. And then you go breathe out. And as a result, you can come into a very peaceful state of mind. I sometimes do this when I'm very much disturbed by things, and I need to be all right in a short time, give a lecture and so on. Then you can very certain breathing exercises, which are also in our tradition. Hari Bhakti Vilas talks about this. But we as devotees ultimately do not place so much hope in these Yamadhibhya, this practices to control the mind and the senses. What we want is we want to invite Krishna in our heart. What this means is practically that we think of Krishna. By having Krishna in our heart, we become peaceful and happy. Have you ever noticed when you read in the Shastras and you start to think about Krishna, how happy you become and how the problems which you saw as very big become very small? Who has this made this experience? Yes. Oh, I'm very happy that you also read and have made this experience, because sometimes devotees read and maybe they don't make this experience because their mind is very active and cannot listen while reading. So this is our process, really, to become happy, to become controlled, to control mind and senses, to have Krishna in the heart. But again, it means we must think of Krishna. It involves the unski. Now, many of us are very active people. What I want to say is now very, very important. We are very active people, and we do require a mission in our life. If we can only read from morning till evening, we will become restless most of the time. What possibilities do we have to engage our mind in Krishna? And if you hear the answer, you will become very thankful to Srila Prabhupada. You will be very glad that you are in the Hare Krishna movement. See, in spiritual life, in spiritual practice, there are two words. One is called anukaran. And the other is anusharan. Anu means always to follow. Anukaran means to follow certain activities. In the beginning of devotional service, we follow the great devotees, what they have said to us. We are doing anukaran. But there is a great, great danger. Anukaran means imitating. Imitating, we only imitate devotees. We act like this, but in our hearts we are really somewhere else. Often such devotees who are in the level of anukaran fall into this trap of imitation. Anukaran means imitation. It means imitation. And therefore we have so much problems in our society, because we are not devotees, we are imitators, pretenders, kapatis. Kapatis means pretender. There are three types of kapatis: prema kapati, bala kapati, and dana kapati. But prema kapati means he says, "I have love of Godhead, I am a great devotee," but he is not. He pretends. He's only an imitator. Dana patati kapati is wealth. He has wealth, but he doesn't give it to the service of Bhaktas and Bhagavan. He keeps it for himself. He's a pretender. He's a rich man, but he keeps his richness under something, under nothing. I'm sorry. The other is Balakapati. Balakapati means he is a strong person. He could do so much, but he's not giving it to Krishna. Pretend. Hare Krishna. These three are there. So very external people you know, who are doing anukaran. This is a great difficulty. And therefore, we have so much problems in our society. We have so many anukaran people. Anukaran means externally they are there by their body and their activities, but the heart is not a devotee. And then these pretenders are together in one big building, and then there is fire. There is problem amongst them. So the more deeper sense is, this is called anusharan. Sharan means to take shelter. It is something which the mind does. You really take shelter in Krishna. This is what a devotee has to do. He can, if he just does external activities, but he does never take shelter in Krishna, he will be in great danger to be an imitator and a pretender. There's one of my godbrother who says that even many highly positioned devotees in our society are only there because they have the position. If they wouldn't be gurus, if they wouldn't be temple presidents and GBC, you know, this is what he says, they would not be there, because in the heart is not the desire to take shelter in Krishna. If these are the older devotees, what is with us? We must be very big pretenders. If our devotee is correct, what he has said, then we must be very much a problem. The art is we must do anusharan. Anusharan means we must take shelter in our mind, not do it out of pratishta, that is, I want to have a name like the imitator, but we must do it out of a sincerity to connect with Krishna. Now, it is seen that you can become an anusharan devotee by a very simple method. You have to take responsibility for Krishna service, for Krishna's service. This is a very general observation. I think many of you are leaders. Have done some leadership activities in our society, and you have seen that there are so many devotees. You have to tell them every little thing. Why? Because they don't think. They do not take a responsibility. Have you sometimes worked with such devotees and you have become like, what is going on? We have seen this. Now we are a little criticizing devotees, but we criticize ourselves. Have you been in the situation? You had to do something, but no one really was there to help. Only if you would tell them, do this. They were doing this, but they were not seeing that beyond this one little thing, there is something else to do. Like, I want to tell you an example which I always get so frustrated when we give a program. I have seen that the devotees are, that a certain type of devotees, not the devotees, this is wrong, the certain type of devotees are the worst people to have on the program, because when they are there, they bring their children and they scream all the time. They don't think that this is now a time where we want to give the preaching, they want to give Krishna consciousness to others. Or when new people come, they behave so rude towards the new people. I've seen. They don't. They take the best places in front, and don't allow the people to sit down. And I'm thinking sometimes, do the devotees think what we are doing at this moment? They are the ones who talk during the programs of it. They are the ones who are inattentive. They are the ones who get up 5 times to go to the toilet. Only one time is necessary, but they feel so restless that they need to walk up and down. And you become frustrated. How will we ever spread this movement with such persons? They are not putting their mind where the activity is. And very often we are in the same situation. Let us not, we are now talking about the difference between Anukaran and Anusharan devotees. Imitating devotees and devotees who are out of sincerity doing something. Now, the moment an Anukaran devotee, this is very important that we go because of, at the moment an Anukaran, that means an imitator and a pretender, that's most of us, because we have not yet love in our heart, takes on responsibility for Krishna, this changes. I have to do this thing. I've seen this when I'm giving a preaching program and I know I'm responsible that this program is nice. I take full responsibility. I see every little thing. I hear when the tape music in the pause is out. When the tape, at the moment the tape is out, I hear it. And I tell, please put the tape. Because I have taken responsibility. The moment someone comes in and a devotee talks with him bad, I see it. Oh, please. Please tell that so-and-so to sit down and let another person preach. It's mystical. The moment you take full responsibility for something, your mind is there. And now comes the beauty. You will also think of Krishna because you know you cannot do it alone. I think Madhva Muni must, you have taken responsibility for the Sunday program. You see so many little things. You, even the decoration, although you are not a Mataji, but you take the responsibility for the thing, and you know this has to be hung there, and how does this look? What do people think we are Tsigoinskis? The moment you take responsibility. So therefore, the great. Therefore, our chance really is to take some responsibility in devotional service, because this will help us to become a real devotee. When Prabhupada was spreading the movement, he gave responsibilities even to the small to young devotees. You open the temple in San Francisco, and the devotees would very quickly advance by taking responsibilities in the mission for Krishna consciousness. They would think this has to be done for Krishna, and their mind would be with Krishna. You must also think of this, take a responsibility. First of all, you have to take a responsibility for your life. This, most of the people who come to an institutions don't do this. They like to, well, now the institution has to take care of me. But in Krishna consciousness, you have to take responsibility for your life. I must again say, I feel very, very bad because since I'm in Serbia, I'm getting up very late, you might have seen. I really take it as my responsibility that I have not gotten, do not get up. Now, and I'm getting my body cured, I'm doing these things because I want to take responsibility for my life. My spiritual master has said, we must get up early, I want to do it. And now no one tells me anything because I'm an old devotee. I have to take responsibility for this. Take responsibility for your sadhana. I should read something. Otherwise I'm tupko in my mind. Maledicto, as far as spiritual things are concerned. Take responsibility, there you can start. Start to take responsibility for your own spiritual life. You will find out the moment you do this, you begin to think of Krishna. It's magical. But if you only are floating around, well, if someone tells me, I will read. But otherwise, no. If someone, you will never become a devotee. It will not work. Even in spiritual education, the spiritual master has only one goal. You know, a teacher has to have a goal. He wants that the devotees understand this is my duty, spiritual life. It's not his duty. It is described. just like the sun transfers its light to the moon and gives the responsibility to make light to the moon in the night, the spiritual master has to give the responsibility for the candidate, for the sadhaka. He has to give it to himself. Most of us do not take any responsibility. When we eat, we come from the sense gratification school. We eat what tastes nice, even if we are sick afterwards. We smoke. The jiva in the conditioned soul in this world has given up the responsibility to Maya, the material energy. She guides the souls around. In spiritual life, you must learn to take the responsibility back from Maya and become responsible for your life. It's very, very important. Yesterday we talked to our two hosts here, and we said it cannot be that a spiritual society is only earning its livelihood due to this, that everyone in the spiritual society is a seller of some things. We must have responsible activities. I mean, Hong Kong things and so on. If you do it for Krishna, that is painting, distribution and so on, that's all right in some time. Because sometimes we need some novats and so on. But if you earn your livelihood just by some irresponsible cheating work, it is not good for you. You must find something for your livelihood where you are responsible people. We must have dharma. Otherwise it corrupts our personality. If we cheat, we will be cheated. It is very simple. Spiritual life is, in other words, something very responsible, where you go from anukaran to anusharan. Today you might think, what is with our Sachinandan Swami? He's talking very heavy in the morning. I'm talking like this because all of you I consider intelligent devotees who can hear this and who must hear such things. I will not talk like this to the mass of devotees, because it's too heavy for them to hear this and so on. They are not yet mature enough. They cannot think about this deeply because they are Hare Krishna, mercy cases. I'm also preaching to myself because these are important things to hear and to do. Now our mission here in Serbia needs people who take responsibility. If we do not find such devotees at this moment, our mission will not become very strong. And I'm appealing to you, all of you, and there are also some who are not here, that you kindly think about this. This point that we must become real devotees in the heart. Like yesterday we talked with two devotees and they said we understand the second phase will be that we become devotees. That we become Budi Dubak. Budi Dubak. Budi Dubak. This will be the second phase. We need such devotees. And you will see that if we start like this, we will attract a totally new group of devotees. Philosophical-minded devotees who have good characters, who are not only burnout cases and so on and so forth. We got many of such burnout cases because we ourselves were Anukaran devotees, imitators and so on and so forth. Therefore, we attracted such people. I have seen I'm now practically I do not know how much years I'm preaching. Maybe 25 years I'm preaching in Krishna consciousness, and I have always seen whatever is in your heart that attracts a certain type of people who want to listen to you. When you are not deep, you do not meet deep people. You meet external people, and so on. So we have to start in our own lives, and then it is good if we take some responsibility in the preaching mission. It is something which we can do, not that we overwork ourselves too much and so on. Something which we can do so that our sadhana does not suffer, our own spur, you know, not too much. It's very, very interesting, my dear devotees. I know that this has to happen in Serbia. And I knew it, I know it since a long, long time. But now Krishna has given us a situation where we can actually make a new start. Because we are not bound to an old system. The old system, you know, we don't have to collect for Chushkendilska, like to maintain Chushkendilska. We are free people. We have, most of you have gone out of disturbing situations. There's no disturbance. Subodhicha is the kingdom of God. You know, you have everywhere small kingdoms of God. And so on. Now you can start to do it. You're free. In your mind also you are free. There are not big responsibilities and so on which hold you down, things which must be done and so on. We can actually start new. And this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that we can start always new. The example which is given for a spiritual person is the snake. Every year the snake will shed its old costume and start new. I think this is very important. Our spiritual life should be fresh. But it will. This time we will have to go inside and change there something. And it will be possible with the help of devotees who are like-minded, who wish to do that also. Be careful in this stage to find such like-minded association. Like-minded means you have same ideas about life. At the same time, do not be judgmental, you know, with those who don't have these ideas. Because then you would again have to fight with people. They would think, oh, you are now wanting to be better than everyone else, and so on and so forth. Hare Krishna. Please excuse me if I have spoken very strongly. I don't feel in the proper... I myself am so useless. Always gives me a lot of pain, but I have this faith. If you try the right things, it just works. A little while ago we did this. We have in Goloka Dham a very, very big community of grihastas, 70 grihastas. Some of them, when you meet them, have alcohol in their aura. Ooh, Slidovich. and so on. Because this is a new, you know, they have left Vera, the kingdom of Vera. They do not stand on the ground of this kingdom, but they stand on the ground of the mind. And they're old. You know, they were Nomalni Osabats before, and now they are also Nomalni Osabats. It's very far out to be in such a situation for a spiritualist. You know, he's in a movement with with the Nomani Osabats, the Sutras, or whatever they are, Chakriya. So. And a little while ago, a wonder happened. We were celebrating Gopunim. And on Gopunim, we have it like this, that everyone can pour Abhishek water over the deities which are worshipped on our altar, Gonitai deities. So then everyone comes, because they have heard if you bathe the deity, you get, your life becomes successful. So who wouldn't like this? So everyone came with beard and you know, everyone came of the old energetic people. And we were there, the pujaris were there, oh no, you know, we know what these people do, and now we give them the conchal and they bathe our Gauranga. What will he think, you know, does he wish to be bathed by such people, such devotees? But we had the feeling, yes, Gauranga wants to bless them. And they came, and you cannot imagine, the whole temple room, all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. And the Namani Osabas of the devotees, we are feeling, wow, very good. Then the next thing happened. In the kindergarten, one mother came and said, these Hare Krishnas are not real pious people. They have the smell of Silavich around them. And the children heard this. We have Hare Krishna children in the kindergarten. Oh. And the other children then, pretenders, you're not real monas, and so on and so forth. So the children went back to their Slilovich fathers and mothers and said, oh, they say we are pretenders. Why? They say you smell like Slilovich bottles. Oh, our children are a problem. Okay, we don't drink Slilovich any longer. And many have changed after. This was what Gauranga did, a trick. He got them at a place where they are very vulnerable, their children. Because of the children are, you know, the other children do like this to them, then it's very bad. In other words, I personally am convinced that if that Krishna will also help those devotees who are Slilovich devotees now, or whatever they are, I don't know what they do. If we start to sincerely give our best to put the atmosphere good. The worst thing is to criticize these devotees at this moment. This is my experience, because it will just create friction and quarrel and so on and so forth. And see, there's one secret which you must know. Everyone who has one time in his life tasted Krishna consciousness, and I think everyone has done this, maybe in a kirtan, maybe while having darshan, can never forget this experience. It will never work. He will always want to have this experience back for the rest of the life. This is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, and this is described in the fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that a devotee who has ever tasted the taste of Krishna consciousness will look for this again. But this is our duty now, or your duty, I will be going soon. It's your duty to make this atmosphere so that the devotees can get the atmosphere and become happy. Hare Krishna. So I'm finished what I wanted to say. What I said was first a spiritual dimension, and then I wanted to bring it on the social dimension. Hopefully I've done it nice and correctly. What do you think about this difference of Anukaran and Anusharan? It's a deep point, isn't it? And it helps if we take responsibility for our life. First for our life. We have to start really there and then go into the preaching mission. It's very simple. It's not that we are expected to now think of Krishna from morning to evening, the Ashtag Kaliya Lila Smaran and so on, or become scholars and so on. We don't have to be someone who we are not at this stage, but we can just take responsibility. There's so much wisdom in this world. And you will see, the more you take responsibility, the more Krishna gives you very exciting things. I must say, I had thought the preaching in Germany is not possible, but at this, I mean, that we always have to, possible it's always, but that you have, but now, at this moment, I got an invitation by some very, very open politicians to talk about Krishna consciousness, only in their rounds, because they are interested. And then we can go to there's a whole new trend amongst the young people, a trend in music, like when the hippie trend was there. Now there's a new trend, and we are invited by the trend makers to put Krishna conscious subjects in there. So many revolutionary things possible, but you do have to take responsibility. Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions regarding these points? Mahodari?
I would like to ask 2 points, also considering my question, which is regarding about why you are explaining Amushara and Amukara. I mean, not just this point, but always when you try to explain some kind of philosophy, you have to make a statement what is good, what is actually, what is our goal or for example to follow, mm-hmm. but also you have to express what is wrong, mm-hmm. like opposite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you can be very careful, I mean, to not to make, like you said, we don't want to criticize, we are giving examples.
Yeah.
And we can see in our life that if we try to see, to put things properly, in our vision, and we have to see what is wrong, what is good. We cannot be neutral, so to say. Mm-hmm. And positive and negative is always there in material life. So what is what is the main base, or how to spread that, according we can judge things around us and about the people and like this. Because we can be always, not objective.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But on the other side, we have to do such things. Mm-hmm. And also, even if we have idea to do that according to knowledge, in one point I can see that is the criticism, because
yeah.
in heart I start to feel. Because we are thinking about some phenomena, some problem. Mm-hmm. Not that we are speaking about the persons, but we just want to figure out what's going on, mm-hmm. so that I can act properly. But there is a subtle. Then in one moment I feel bad in my heart, because I can figure out it's not that I am just doing that because I want to see things properly.
Yeah.
But then I start to criticize. Then I try to be neutral, but I cannot. Then I try to be objective. It's not possible. Did you figure out?
I think I figured
because
out.
I couldn't express his thoughts. I mean,
yes.
Do you understand?
I hope my antennas were good enough to find out what you were expressing. I think you asked for the basis of judgment in this world. And now our basis as Vaishnavas is different than the mundane people who have mundane good and mundane bad, pious and impiety, we have a different standard really of looking. I think our main point is Krishna in the world, and from this, and so whatever is favorable to Krishna is good, whatever is keeping you in the world is not good in our vision. We have a transcendental point of reference, that is Krishna, not just good and bad, which remain material points of references. I wish to now make it a little bit clearer. And a paradigm which helps you to understand yourself better, and what is good for you and what is bad for you, and what also will understand a paradigm which helps you to understand people better, what is good for them and what is bad for them, is the ultimate is the analysis of your situation in the world. You are a spiritual soul, a part and parcel of Krishna, who in this material world has adopted a foreign nature, the conditioned nature. And now when you look at yourself, whatever helps you to come back to your original nature as a servant of Krishna will be good, and whatever removes you from this center of existence and drag you into the material atmosphere will be not so good. In other words, whatever helps your conditioned nature to get more and more entangled in karmic and bad reactions, that is not good for you, and that is also for people not good. See, as long if you have this vision, you can be kind, although you can you see the mistakes in others. You see, here's an eternal soul. You can be also kind to yourself. I'm an eternal soul who goes back to Krishna, who wants Krishna very much. Yavolim Krishna is there. But there is also this foreign nature. And you have to somehow deal with it responsibly in a way that you bring it to Krishna. This is called what you do in the as eternal soul is called mukhya bhakti, and what you do in relationship to the body and the mind is called gona bhakti, indirect devotional service. So when you see some person who acts wrongly, you can understand, here is his soul, and he is now cheated by his conditioned nature to remove himself a little bit from Krishna consciousness. I'm looking at this moment personally with these eyes to a person in a devotee in Serbia who has disappointed me and so on. And first my reaction was, oh no, and I will not have anything to do with this person any longer. But then the next thing was, no, he is a very nice person. He wishes to go back to Krishna. And there is some behavior now in him which brings him away from Krishna. And I will try to help. And the moment you are fixed in this paradigm, you will see that you can correct other people in a mild way, because you come from the spiritual platform. You will be an instrument of Krishna, because Krishna looks at us the same way. He loves all his devotees very, very much, even though they do sometimes things which are impossible, because he sees that they are my part and parcel. They are very dear to me. And this is only the foreign nature. He's not against the devotees, in other words, but against the Maya, which is the devotees. And therefore he appears in this world of Maya and teaches as Mahaprabhu, the great teacher, spiritual knowledge, and extends his devotees to preach to us conditioned souls. As long as you're not fixed in this spiritual understanding, and you just look at a person according to this duality, good and bad, pious and impious, is he self-controlled or not self-controlled, and so on. You actually have lost your spiritual vision, and you will not be able to bring people to the spiritual vision. But as soon as you can see in this paradigm, you know, the 2 points, he is a pure spiritual soul, and you wish to help him back, he goes back to Krishna, then you will help him. A very good example of this is Srila Prabhupada, and I heard this is confirmed. He had one disciple who was a very great sensualist, sensual person. He had some problem with sense enjoyment. So there is a Prabhupada wanted to help him very much. He went once to him and gave him a dhoti, and the disciple couldn't take it. He was on his way out, in other words, out into the material world. He wanted to leave Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave him a dhoti to try to keep him. And then the disciple said, with tears in his eyes, "No, I'm sorry, I can't do what I have to." Prabhupada then said, "For the last 600 births, I'm trying to make you a devotee." You can understand what this vision of Prabhupada was. He saw the spiritual soul, the real devotee of Krishna, and he saw also this other nature, this foreign nature. Soon as you begin to look with this paradigm, you can be also kind to yourself. You can understand, "Oh, Krishna, I'm again pulled by my senses and by my mind, but I really want to come to you." But if you get lost in this dualistic concept of how good were you today, how bad you were, you lose the light of Krishna consciousness, and you get lost in the darkness of the material world, the good and the bad trees of material world. But it's all darkness without the light of Krishna consciousness. I hope I have sensed what you were asking, Mahurari. Just for this, I want to, those of you who are interested in this point, conditioned nature and spiritual nature, there's a wonderful purport in the Gita, which is one of my favorite purports in the Gita, which I read when I feel I have to do something in my spiritual life, and I also read it when I preach to devotees, and I know I'm not really kind enough. Sometimes I become so frustrated with devotees that I also get lost in this duality, material duality, and I stop seeing that they are actually on the way to Krishna. Amrita Putras, children of immortality, and so on. Then I read this verse, it's in the 9th chapter of the Gita, text number 30, a wonderful verse of Prabhupada on this subject. Yes, Mahalari?
Connected with this situation, for example, I can understand that when you are thinking, when I start to think about you or about Shabda, for me that it is easy to see, to recognize that vision of Amrita Putra, and for others, and like this. For me it's difficult because I'm all too sentimental, and then I'm in trouble together with that person, or just me, but the person is going on with his not Amrita Putra way, but I try to pretend not to be into it, about, you know, that I'm, you know, that I don't take care, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care. Pretend myself, but inside I care.
Yeah.
But because it's so painful to take care and to be really in position that you do the right thing, then it's so heavy. You cannot make decision, and I really sometimes, especially in last period of my life, I don't know what to do, and even in the small things, what to say about some bigger things. I'm completely helpless. I cannot make decision. I'm always in position that I think I will hurt person. I will make mistake. So what to do? Because I'm not in position that I'm so merciful. I don't have capacity.
Yeah.
They will ruin me on the end, or I will ruin myself acting like to be so merciful or impersonal on the other side.
Maharaji, maybe we can talk about this point not here, because I would need to know whom, what situation you have in mind. But as a general, this is Malaprivatni, obviously, but as a general answer, when you don't know how to act in one situation, in several situations with different people, it is best to let the situation, if you can, to let it on the side a little bit, and to be, and Simon, but then not just let it, but then you need to do something in your life where you are sure, so that you get some snaga, some position in your life where you are sure, and from which position, from which you can do, take on the other areas of your life which require a solution. For instance, one thing which is always very good is if you take care of your own sadhana and your own inner spiritual life, usually you do get a strength which is necessary for instance, a preaching situation where you don't know how to act properly. Usually the strengths come which you get in one area will also protect you or guide you even in another area of life. This is a general answer. Even it's a strategic answer. For instance, in German, preaching in Germany, I know now, if we make Goloka Dharm strong, this one project, if it's very strong financially, and more than that, happy devotees who are well engaged, we will also be able to make the other preaching areas strong, because there is a good example. This is my attempt. I'm not so good in this because I'm not such a good organizer, but at least I'm trying from my service as a preacher to make it strong and so on. Mm-hmm. You must please come one day to Goloka Dharm. You have not been there. It's a scandal. Radha Madan Mohan are there, then Radha Kunya Vihari are there. You all have not been there. Yeah, and Kishori has been there. She's everywhere. and Madayanti has been there. Dashka has been there also. But then it was just developing. It's much nicer now. You have taken all the beton out. Beton of the old area. Everything was made of beton in the old area. So now we have taken natural stones. Adochaya, the genius from somewhere. Hare Krishna. Welcome. We are almost at the end. Yes. So yes. Any other question which you have? Marayati? What? Madhva Muni had? Ladies first, but
I heard the devotees in Bhagavad and we discussed a very long time and very deeply about certain things with Krishna consciousness.
and it sometimes will even change some ideas which are totally different. And right at the end, I recommend that in some case we had everybody, a few devotees was with me, my dear friends, from the last time, and we recognized that we had exactly three types of, it's not like this, three understandings of this phase of second phase of Krishna consciousness. One is among devotees who didn't understand all these situations. They just couldn't recognize, they live just in the past, still they are in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The second type is devotees who are, can recognize something, but on the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
They take, they try to preach some philosophical, which are not our philosophical, they start, many things are
mm-hmm.
And finally, we have the groups of devotees who are thinking similarly, and the songs, way which is, which we can, everybody understands. And in a few days, which I was, we was in many different situations. I was thinking about that, and we recognize that we don't know how to deal with all of these things, because if we see the things properly, one group of devotees can see some things properly, but you have the other devotees also, one of them cannot see anything and the other can see on the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
What to do in that situation? Because everything is very, very sensible, and everything, if we said, for example, we should be simple, should be more deep in Krishna consciousness, and we should to develop a really spiritual relationship, not spiritual, not relationship like everyone has in this
mm-hmm.
world. For example, friendly, nice, friendly, spiritual relationship. But it's not easy. I think we think that it's not easy to work on that, to preach on that way. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
How to react when you meet with some devotees who don't understand you or understand you on the wrong way? How we can react on that? What we should do?
We need to come to a standard which is absolutely acceptable by everyone. And that is Srila Prabhupada's vision. Now, that's the first point. But it really doesn't answer your question totally, because Prabhupada can also be understood in different ways. If you, I will say now something. My understanding of Srila Prabhupada's guidance—it's only my understanding—but Srila Prabhupada had to guide many different individuals, and therefore he said to one individual this, and to another individual that. There is, for instance, an example where he said all sannyasis should travel and preach. Now, he turned around to one sannyasi, he said, and you should stay in the Gurukul and only make the Gurukul. Because for this sannyasi, the total opposite was best, to be a Gurukul teacher and stay for 5 years, give a commitment, 5 years minimum, or so. So it's very difficult, although we say we have to have one standard, and that is Srila Prabhupada, there will also be differences, because Prabhupada did, he gave freedom to many, many, he gave space to many different individuals, and he had to do so, because spiritual guidance is ultimately individual. Ultimately, we believe in individuality. So, but I think we have to recognize the fact that we have a general standard, but we will never be able to make everyone the same. Prabhupada didn't do it. He didn't want to do it also, because it's not good. We have to learn to appreciate the differences. Srila Prabhupada, he very nicely explained it in a letter, that the success of this movement will depend on the devotee's understanding of unity in diversity. This, he said, is the success formula. I feel sometimes, because we concentrated so much on the mission, we needed almost uniform people who would do things similarly. It was good for some time, but it can't be good all the time, because the individual tendencies will come out. You know, we had even in the good days, we were, in the old days, we gave the same dhoti and the same kota to everyone, the same jacket and so on and so on. Because that was a missionary phase where, yes, the individuals had to sacrifice for the mission. That this is what they did, what all of us did. You know, you were all on a, even I think Mahurari, you were out distributing books like anything, isn't it? and so on. We all were expected to do this, because that was, we were purely concentrated on mission. But as a person grows older, he has to take care of his own individual way a little bit. So there will be always an ashram where young devotees, I feel, should do sacrifice, but for the oldest, the same sacrifice might look a little bit different because they are more mature and so on. In other words, unity in diversity should be seen, and we should not be in the utopia that we can or even should make everyone the same. There will be different philosophical camps. And in Vaishnavism, it's always, some emphasize this aspect a little bit more of Krishna, another aspect emphasize this aspect. And as long as it is within, in tune with the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's all accepted as Gaudiya Vaishnavism. For instance, when we were in Rimuna, I think we all noticed this. They had a very interesting morning program and evening program. They went with this, you remember this torch which